Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Louise, thank you very much for that. Now, homelessness in Ireland continues to grow. The latest data, just published by the Department of Housing, shows that during the last week of March, there were 13,866 people in emergency accommodation, of whom 4,147 were children and 9,719 were adults. Joining us now is Executive Director of the Simon Communities of Ireland, Wayne Stanley, and CEO of Alone, Sean Moynihan. And we'll also hear from the CEO of NASC, the Migrant and Refugee Rights Centre, Fiona Hurley, shortly, and you're all very welcome to the programme. Wayne, I'll come to yourself first, and thanks for coming in to us today. Another new record in homelessness, although I know the Minister for Housing said it's a very, very small increase this month. What needs to be done to try and stop this trend, this upward trend?
Well, we know from the frontline experience of the Simon Communities across Ireland, and we know from the international research, that for as long as we have a lack of secure and affordable accommodation, homelessness is likely to increase. I would acknowledge that there's some positive in today's figures, small decreases in the Midlands and the Southwest, and I suppose an increase of 25 nationally, when over the last number of months it's been increases of hundreds. That is, I can't call it positive, but it is at least something in that ballpark. I think overall what we need to see is reflect on the fact that over the last 10 years we've seen an enormous increase in homelessness, but it hasn't always been that. I think when I was speaking to you before about during COVID, we saw when there was a moratorium on evictions and people were stopped from coming into homelessness, and there was an increase in supply, particularly in that at that time short-term lets, they were able to be captured for people who were in homelessness and supported out. And that's the answer. If we can slow the flow of people into homelessness, keep them in the homes they have, and if we can provide secure, affordable accommodation to the people that are in homelessness and get them out, we see a fall in homelessness.
Okay, so two-pronged then. So just to be clear then, you're saying a reinstatement of the eviction ban, that's one of the aspects that has to be reconsidered or done?
Something that will keep people in their homes has to be considered and done. What we have proposed is a Simon Homeless Prevention Bill, which would be a targeted moratorium. So that is where somebody's at imminent risk of homelessness, a local authority would have the capacity to extend their notice to quit and work with them to provide an alternative. I would say, I heard earlier on the bulletin, Mary Hayes talking about the tenant in situ. That was a very important innovation, and I think that may have contributed to the fact that we're seeing a slowing of the increases in numbers in the last number of months.
Yeah, and indeed, Minister Dara O'Brien mentioned that today in a comment on the latest figures. He said those without a home remain the priority, for this government, and that in 2024, the government's making €242 million available for the delivery of homeless services. And one of the things he said they will continue to fund is much needed services, also ramping up the supply of social housing and ensuring the tenant in situ scheme is continuing. That scheme, you're saying, is working. Do we need it on a much bigger scale, or is there anything that can be done there?
I think when you look at the way that it's the scale that it's running at, and you see the scale of notice to quits for landlords selling up, I think it does need to be ramped up. Obviously, it's for a particular cohort of people who are at risk of homelessness where the local authority will intervene. But I think there is more capacity there, and that needs to be investigated and pursued as far as possible.
So just to bring you back to the thing that the Simon Communities has proposed, the sort of the more targeted eviction ban, if you want to put it like that. I know that one of the reasons that the government has said that they don't want to reintroduce any sort of an eviction ban, they haven't mentioned yours specifically, is that it'll lead to less supply in the market, that landlords will leave, that you know people want certainty, and landlords hate the eviction ban because they want to have control over their own properties. What do you say to that?
I suppose how we came to it was actually we saw the success of the moratorium on evictions during COVID, and that's how we came to develop this piece of legislation, and it recognised that. I suppose what we were trying to do was find the balance between the kind of social contract that we have, that nobody should experience homelessness, and the fact that landlords do need a level of certainty, that if we could make it really targeted, that might be a fairer balance.
So only in situations where a tenant is imminently facing eviction and homelessness?
There's a decision made by the local, they can present to the local authority, and the local authority makes a determination if they're imminently at risk of homelessness, they can enact the bill.
4,147 children homeless in these latest figures. What are you hearing from the ground and from families on this?
What the Simon Communities who are working with those families are telling us is there's a real sense of anxiety and despair, a real sense of the trauma that it is when you cross the threshold of a homeless service. No matter how good, and I would stand over the quality of any of the Simon services around the country, but no matter how good the service is, no matter how good the staff is, crossing the threshold of a homeless service with your child is a trauma. And that trauma is visited upon the children. Now, children are very resilient, and if we can get people out of homelessness quickly, there's going to be limited impact. But if they get, shall we say, trapped or stuck in homelessness for years and months, then that is going to have a very damaging impact.
And some children have already had that experience for their childhood.
Yes.
In terms of the housing targets then, because you mentioned it's sort of a two-pronged attack, stop people from entering homelessness and also have somewhere for people to go. The government has committed this week again to revising their housing targets. We're not going to get them still for another couple of months exactly what the targets are. Do you welcome that? Do you have any hope or expectation that the numbers that we're being told will be delivered will be delivered?
I think we always welcome ambition. We always welcome a recognition that there isn't enough supply and that we need to increase the supply. But how we will judge the government is when we look at what is the impact for people who are experiencing homelessness. Are we seeing that supply in local authority housing, in secure, affordable accommodation? And are we being able to get those children out of homelessness, those single people out of homelessness, and get them into secure and affordable homes and see those homeless numbers come down? That's how we'll judge a government.
And what has been your experience of that over the last couple of years?
I think it hasn't been my experience. I think it's been, you know, it's reflected in the figures. The homelessness was declared a crisis, particularly family homelessness, in 2014. We're now 10 years on and there's nearly a 300% increase in the number of people in homelessness.
Stay with us, Wayne, if you don't mind. We can now hear from Fiona Hurley, for the CEO of NASC, the Migrant and Refugee Rights Centre, who I spoke to a little shortly before coming on air. And I began by asking her about these rising homeless figures and also what needs to be done when it comes to looking at accommodation for asylum seekers.
At this stage, people are aware that there are 1,700 asylum seekers on the streets at the moment. And you know, living on the streets has a huge impact on people's physical health, their mental health. And the vast majority of people in Ireland want to welcome refugees, but they also want to see facilities in place to ensure that it can be done in a humane way that meets everyone's rights and that ensures that people have a dignity and that they aren't living on the streets. So what we really need to see is, you know, how are we moving towards ensuring that there's accommodation for people in the international protection process? So, you know, we have seen that in time of emergency, with, you know, with weather, when there's been severe weather warnings in place, that, you know, there has been kind of ability found to find places for our people. And we would want to see the government kind of act faster to ensure that those 1,700 people do get spaces.
Do you think that that figure of 1,700, those people living on the streets, should that not be included in the homeless figures, do you think? Because those are people in this country who are homeless.
Yep, and I think that the, you know, there needs to be you know, a whole of government approach to dealing with this issue. And the Department of Housing can't just stand back and say, well, you know, this is not, you know, part of, not an issue for us. This is squarely within the Department of Children. The 1,700 people on the streets, we need to see a whole government approach, and we need to see the Department of Housing become more involved in dealing with this issue.
And yet, if we did do that, say, and added the 1,700 to the almost 14,000 other homeless people that we know about today, you know, you're knocking on 16,000 homeless people in this country, or 15,500 at least. And the figures, the trend has been steadily upwards over the last couple of months, indeed the last couple of years. Is there any argument, taking all that into account, Fiona, that there simply isn't the space, that, you know, whatever anyone wants to say about there being accommodation that could be found, it's not being found, and people are ending up on the streets?
I think we need to be really careful that we're not trying to use homelessness as a deterrent to people from coming. Like, we have obligations under national law and under international law to people, and like, Ireland has a history of migration ourselves. We know what it's like to leave. We know what it's like to leave, whether it's because of poverty and economic migration or because of persecution. And we've been fortunate, I suppose, in that we've had the ability to do that. Like, we've had the ability to travel to other EU countries without a visa and to, you know, set it up there and be kind of immigrants easily. That's not a luxury that the vast majority of the world has.
I do understand that. I mean, government insists, because it has been put to them even this week, I've heard it put to government ministers, is the situation, for example, that we see on Mount Street with all the people sleeping in tents on Mount Street, is that a deliberate strategy to try and discourage migrants from coming to this country? And government insists, no, it's not.
And we would like to see the government doing more to show that they are trying to find housing for everyone, and that if you are, you know, a single person and you're a younger person coming in, that your fate won't very likely be living on the streets for months at a time.
And that was Fiona Hurley, the CEO of NASC, speaking to me a little earlier. We're also joined now by Sean Moynihan, who's CEO of Alone. And Sean, you're welcome to the programme. Homelessness is reaching really all parts of the country. Well, it's definitely reaching all parts of the country, but it's reaching all sectors of society as well, isn't it? What's the situation like for older people in Ireland at the moment?
Look, I think, you know, what we have to realise is these numbers are the people who are accessing emergency accommodation. I think the real numbers of people in housing need and homelessness is probably is much higher. So I think, and it affects all age groups. I think for us working with all older people, it is the fact that house ownership has dropped. The number of over 65s renting is up 83%. And so, and the number of people in social housing, older people in social housing, is up around 38% in the last 6 or 7 years. And that reflects people retiring into private rented and the inability to compete, especially post-work, in paying rent, or same like other people, living with that anxiety of notice to quit, legitimate notice to quit, but then ultimately is it's only by the efforts of a lot of people that ultimately the number of older people on these lists isn't, whereas it the increase is matching year on year at 16%. The actual numbers are lower just because of the efforts that everybody knows, really, we don't want older people in emergency accommodation where somewhere they just can't cope.
Yeah, we've heard previously on the show that some older people are coming up against landlords who don't want to take on older tenants. Is that something that you've come across?
Yeah, look, I think the reality is people, you know, whereas what we do is support older people in the community, the third highest thing we deal with is housing, is housing issues. And unfortunately, last year, over 500 around homelessness. So I think the reality of it is unfortunately, an older person isn't very attractive to a private landlord. That's not to blame or give out about landlords. It's just the fact that they know the person's probably on a HAP payment. They probably know that their income isn't going to go up. And really, even if they have compassion, it's a case of, well, I'm worried that I might need to give you support needs possibly in a couple of years' time. And I don't necessarily want to ask you to leave. So I think the Taoiseach has it right. It's supply, supply, supply. And it's all one big housing market, because in reality is, if you increase the access to social housing, then you decrease the amount of money we're paying on the poverty traps that come with housing assistance payments. You reduce, that'll reduce the cost of rents in general. That will increase the ability to buy, while at the same time building housing for young and old. So I think it is all about supply here. And I think we're becoming used to these numbers. Like, I realise the positivity.
What do we do then, Sean, right? If you say it's all about supply, and the government is saying that supply is increasing, and we can see that it is increasing, but we also know that the targets that the government have in their current Housing for All plan, the government itself admits, aren't high enough, aren't enough to meet the demand that we have at the moment. So the supply isn't coming anytime soon, the supply that we need.
I think in some ways is the first thing to do is realise that it's supply, supply, supply. And I think then, like, that is we need to turn a lot more of the resources of the state to it. And there may be some difficult, you know, we talk about the supply of workers now. There may be some difficult decisions that actually we need to divert. Instead of building more hotels and more other things, we actually need to build houses for our community, for our young people, for our families and older people, to make sure that people don't end up in homelessness or with the fear and anxiety of how do they pay the rent when they retire.
Just to bring you back in here, Wayne, and finally, a text here from a listener saying the homeless data understated the problem. There are people in emergency accommodation on the state's books, but there's others living rough in tents, cars, insecure accommodation, overcrowded centres. Sean has just alluded to that as well. How big is this problem really? Do we have any real grasp on how big the real homelessness problem is?
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is we've always said these homeless figures are essentially indicative of where we're going. And that's why, you know, that kind of month-on-month increase is so dispiriting, because essentially what that is, that's people who have been in those difficult situations and been forced to present to their local authority because they've run out of options, they've run out of capacity to find their ways around. There are a number of different sort of figures that don't come out monthly. So there's the housing lists, which show people who are in overcrowded situations and maybe in the private rental market that they can't afford, who are waiting to get into the social housing. We know there are 6,000 people who have leave to remain in the state who are currently stuck in direct provision because there's no accommodation for them. So it is significantly larger. But the truth is, it's not about how big is the number, really. It's about what are the solutions.
Okay.
And the solutions is secure, affordable accommodation.
Finally, if you were Minister for Housing tomorrow, one thing to do, what would you do?
Increase the allocations, work with the local authorities to increase allocations of people in homelessness and implement the Simon Homeless Prevention Bill.
All right, we have to leave it there. And thank you all very much for joining us this evening. That is Wayne Stanley, Sean Moynihan, and we are also joined by Fiona Hurley. We'll take a break.